I do want to, let's start off by reading the Christmas story. And we find that in Luke chapter 2. Look, find the book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke in the New Testament. And we're going to go to the second chapter of the book. Okay? I'll give you a minute to get there, and then we'll start. Luke chapter 2, and I'm reading at verse 1. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee and from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which is for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go down straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer as we discuss the word of God. Thank you, Jesus, for your great gift. Thank you, Father, for sending your son. Thank you that, Lord, you save souls. Now, Lord, we just ask your blessing would remain on us as we endeavor to think about Jesus and to bring him closer to us. We're thankful and we're grateful in Jesus' name. Want to consider this morning, what child is this? What child is this? Born in Bethlehem around that time, born in Jerusalem, there must have been other babies who were born. But the heavens opened for this one. Angels came for this one. And what child was this? Gee, the child was born this day in Bethlehem was cast before the foundations of the world. We all know that. This was not his inception into the reality of life. In the book of Genesis, we're told that God said, "Let us make man in our image." And then goes through the course of explaining that there was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let me hold this for a moment, and I'm going to read to you from John 1. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was in the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. So the baby born in Bethlehem that day was simply God coming down and taking the form of man. Jesus had been alive forever. He was cast before the foundations of the world. And yet the greatest event in history is recorded in this book. Now, I find it interesting that throughout the Old Testament, there are multiple times when this event was being prophesied. We are told in Micah. We are told in another part of Isaiah. We are told in many books that this event was going to happen. This event was going to be the line of demarcation for all human beings. The Savior was born. The Son was given. A child. But what child is this? I find it a little amazing that this great event, prophesied forever, is found, the event itself is found only in one book, and it's only 20 verses long. That's it. The birth of Jesus. One book, one chapter, and 20 verses long. Most of the story that we just read was about other people. We're told about the shepherds being out in the field and tending the sheep. We're told about the angels who come and sing praises. We're told about Mary, how she was feeling, what she was doing. All we hear about Jesus is that he was born, wrapped in clothes, wrapped in cloths, and laid in a manger. That's the only thing we hear about in the story of the birth of Jesus. Most verses describe the others, the shepherds, Mary, angels. We are told of him that he was born, wrapped in cloths, and laid in a manger. Let us never let Jesus get lost from our lives. Though it wasn't proclaimed about what he was doing, how he was, how big was he, how beautiful was he. Nothing is told. But we need to lift him up. We need him to become more prominent in all that we are going to do. This is the greatest event in history. You remember, some of you will remember, some of you may not. A few years back, the United States of America landed a spaceship on the moon. And Neil Armstrong walked out of that capsule and he said these words, "One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." It was a great event. The president at that time made a speech and he made a statement, and his statement was that this was the greatest event in the history of man, the landing on the moon. Well, Mr. President, there was a greater event. There was a greater event. The greater event was the day that God gave a son, his own son, to become a man and to become the Savior. Blessed be his name. So the answer to the question, what child is this? We have to go really elsewhere in the Bible to find out, because the story we just read doesn't tell us what child was this. We have to go elsewhere. So if you will, if you can find your way to the book of Isaiah and the 9th chapter, book of Isaiah, 9th chapter. If you go to really the middle of your Bible, there, it's right in the middle of your Bible, the book of Isaiah. We're going to look at the 9th chapter. So the story of his birth doesn't tell us who he was, what he was doing. So we'll look elsewhere and see what else is happening. History and men have answered the question, in what child is this, in many ways. Many ways. Many will say he was a great teacher. Many will say he was a wise man. Others will say he was a great speaker, a great leader of men. But the answer is, he is Emmanuel, God with us. And Isaiah 9:6 says, a child will be born to us, and a son will be given. Let me read for you in Isaiah 9, verse 6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness. Who is this? Who is this child? He's the Wonderful Counselor. That's who he is to us today, the Wonderful Counselor. When he was born, he was born wiser than anyone who had come before him, and wiser than anyone who would ever come after him. Remember, he was seen as the creator in Genesis and the creator of all things in John, always there. We use, you know, we use many things for counsel today. We used our father and our mother for counsel. We used teachers for counsel. We use counselors for counsel. It's a business. We use Google for counsel. We use YouTube for counsel. If you want to get somewhere, remember you used to open up the, map. You had to open up, and you had to open it up carefully. You had to do it. Now we Google Maps, and they tell you where to go. The voice comes, make a right in 100 feet. So we have many who are counselors, but this, well, what child is this? He is the Wonderful Counselor, in whom all things are understood. Apostle Peter tells us that in Christ Jesus, we have all things that pertain to life and to godliness. In him, all things are present for our benefit and for our joy. The Wonderful Counselor. It will behoove us well in these coming days, in this coming year, to grow closer to the Counselor and to allow his counsel to become that which leads us in the steps we take. Are you like me? And you can close your eyes and you can look back and you can say, you know what happened is, I should have prayed a little harder about that one. I should have found out a little bit more from Jesus about that one. Nobody ever says, I prayed too much about the incident. I prayed too much about that direction. But if you're like me, you can look back and say, I should have prayed a little bit harder. I should have sat longer in his presence and got his counsel in a better way. He is Wonderful Counselor. What child is this? What child is this? Look at verse 6 again. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor. His name will be called Mighty God. What child is this? He is the Mighty God. The Mighty God of eternity. The Almighty God. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. 2 Corinthians tells us, I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. The Almighty God. That's, what child is this? He's the Almighty God. Tozer, in one of his writings, gave this story about how we sometimes treat Jesus. And we sometimes treat Jesus in this way. We treat him like Saul treated David. Now, Saul wanted David to slay the giants. To slay the giant, to get rid of that thing. And we want Jesus to slay our giants, to take care of what our needs are. To get rid of those huge things that impede our way. Slaying the giants. And they also, we treat Jesus, we want him to be able to soothe our emotions and our hearts, like David did for Saul, as Saul was tormented by demons. David would play the harp and would sing, and Saul would be soothed. Well, sometimes we treat Jesus like this, and Tozer said it. We want Jesus to slay the giants, and we want Jesus to soothe our hurts, our illness, our anxieties. But we're like Saul sometimes. We don't want David to become king. We don't want to put Jesus as king over all that we have and all that we are. Oh, we like him to slay the giants and to soothe our hearts, but not become king of kings over all in my life. May we find in these coming days that Jesus becomes more of a king in our life than somebody whose name is just in this book. Let me turn, you don't have to turn. I'm going to turn over to the 11th chapter, a couple chapters over, and look at who Jesus is. Who is this child? Then a shoot will spring up from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. Because he is God, he sees our hearts. He understands exactly and all that is going on. Who is this child? He's the wonderful counselor. What child is this? He's the mighty God who can slay all of our giants. Scriptures tell us one of the scriptures that I find dear to my heart in a lot of times in as I go through life is the scripture that says, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God is on our side and he's for us, who can be against us? And then Paul begins to elaborate on who. What child is this? The mighty God. And look again, the everlasting Father. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. You know, it's an interesting thing. As I was looking at this, they're considering that maybe 40% of children in America do not live in a home, a domicile, where the father is. There's a lot of reasons for that, they're saying 40%. Don't have a father or a father figure. God will be our father. He will not be a substitute or an absentee father. He will not fail us. He will never be away. He will be present always as we will touch him. Scripture says, can a mother forget her child, her baby? Can a mother forget her baby? And the scripture says, yes, she can, but I will never forget you. I will never leave you. The everlasting Father, ever-present, everlasting, every single moment of every single day. God's eyes are upon us, and his hand is quick to touch us. And again, as Isaiah says, I'll go back and I'll read it. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. Peace. Isn't that a nice word? Wouldn't you like your life to be a little more peaceful? A little more peace at work? A little more peace here? A little more peace there? There can be no peace without the Prince of Peace foremost in our lives. We need the Prince of Peace to come. We want peace. We want peace. Pastor had us pray for peace in this country. We need peace in this country. We need peace in our families, in our homes. We need peace in our minds and our heart. It comes not by any other means than by the Prince of Peace. There is no peace without the Prince of Peace. What child is this? Is the one who brings peace. When he went to that stable, he brought peace. The angel said, now, peace with men. God brought peace to men of whom he deems worthy. Luke 2:13, the multitude of angels appear to the shepherds and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Now it's an interesting scripture. But peace to earth. Yet there's been war after war after war after war after war since that day. He brought peace to the earth. But as you could see, among men with whom he is pleased. The peace of God that we have, it passes understanding. You can't understand it. You can only receive it as you touch God and allow him to touch you back. What child is this? The one who can bring peace in the midst of a storm. He was in the back of that boat, and the waves were crashing over. The wind was howling, and the disciples went to him, and they said, well, don't you even care that we're going to die? And he said, where is your faith? He stood up and said, peace, be still. And the waves ceased. The winds ceased. That was a miracle of miracles. I think we've been over this one time before. In the history of the earth, every time there was a storm, now I don't understand, I'm not a scientist, I don't understand this fully well, but there's a situation where the water in the air is colder up top, and the hot air rises into there, forming clouds, causing a disturbance, which grows into a storm, and grows from here to there, and then dissipates. Every storm in the history of this planet has done that. Started, whirlwind, and dies, except one. When Jesus stood up and said, peace, be still, it stopped right in the middle. There was no continuation. Jesus has control over all things, and he has control over the peace that we will have in our lives. He's the one who can bring peace in the midst of the trouble that we have in our homes, in the midst of the trouble we have with our friends, our families. Who is this child? What child is this? He can bring peace in the midst of financial disasters. We need to grab hold of the Prince of Peace in a greater way this year. Are you with me this year? We find the Prince of Peace in a greater way, bringing him into our life. The only peace that can come is only from him. You know what field I'm in. I'm in the field of therapy and counseling. So I am familiar with a lot of stories. Millionaires commit suicide. Very powerful. And important, famous people end up being drug addicts. I was reading a story the other day at work of all the people who were very prominent in Hollywood, very prominent, very powerful, very famous, very rich, ended up losing it all. Some ended up living on the street with homeless. The shepherd, the Prince of Peace, is the one who can bring the peace into our hearts and keep us walking in a right manner. May his name be praised. As soon as that baby was born in that stable, God brought peace between him and us. We need to reach out and appropriate that more and more. On whom he will. This year received the greatest gift that was ever given. A son was given. A baby was born. What child is this? He's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. He is the one that makes the difference. If you're looking around yourself and you're scratching and saying, what's going on? What's happening? And you have desires are not being fulfilled. Reach out and touch him. He's the mighty God. He's the wonderful counselor. He's the Prince of Peace. And he's an everlasting father to each and every one of us. This year, today, receive the greatest gift in a new way, totally and wholly into our lives. Let's let the child tell us who he is. I'm going to read from, again, from going back to Luke, and I'm going to chapter 4. You don't have to turn, I'll read it for you. This is when he went to his hometown. And he went into the synagogue, and they handed him the scroll. And he was to do the reading for that day. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." What child is this? It's this child, the one who has come to set free the captives, set us free from our captivity, and to bring us in a right way, anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind. And that just doesn't only mean those who are physically blind, but those who are blind in their heart. What child is this? It's the gift from heaven. He's our gift. We'll be exchanging many gifts throughout the next coming days. We'll be giving gifts. In my house, there's bags and boxes full of gifts all over the place. My wife is amazing in what she can do in this kind of season. Boxes. But there's one gift that we all need to get and we all need to appropriate into our hearts, into our lives, even this day. The one who said, "I have come to seek and to save all of them that are lost." He's seeking and he's saving. He's seeking for us even now. And of course, we must end with the scripture that delineates the gift of God in the best way and what God has done for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. What child is this? Is the gift that gives us what we'll need for all that we'll ever need, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we bow our heads for a moment and say a word of prayer? I'm wondering if there's anybody here, maybe you never made Jesus your Savior. Maybe you've never asked him in as Savior. And you want to do that this morning. We give you that opportunity. Just reach out to him. Just touch him.